We thank all the witnesses for staying within the five-minute time limit. David Coppell is the research director of the Independence Institute and an associate policy analyst at the Cato Institute. He is also an adjunct professor of advanced constitutional law at Denver University. Mr. Coppell received his J.D. from the University of Michigan Law School and his B.A. from Brown University. You may proceed.
Thank you very much, Senator Schumer. The last 3 days have raised, rather than allayed, concerns that Justice Kagan could destroy, rather than defend, Second Amendment rights. You've been offered platitudes that Heller is settled law and that the nominee knows that Second Amendment rights are very important to many Americans. Last summer, Ms. Sotomayor offered nearly identical assurances. Yet this Monday, Justice Sotomayor and Justice Breyer declared that Heller should be overruled. Those rights which so many Americans consider so important will be eliminated by judicial fiat. Ms. Kagan has rejected every opportunity which this committee has offered to provide any meaningful commitment to the Second Amendment. To the contrary, she has even refused to affirm that the Declaration of Independence has any value in guiding constitutional interpretation. While the Declaration states that the protection of inalienable natural rights is the very purpose of government, Ms. Kagan will not answer whether the natural right of self-defense is among those inalienable rights. We know from history that Jefferson and Madison and the rest of the founders and their intellectual ancestors, such as John Locke, considered self-defense to be one of the most fundamental of all rights. As a Supreme Court clerk, Justice Kagan wrote, "I'm not sympathetic," when a man challenged the D.C. handgun ban, which the Heller Court later found to be unconstitutional. "I'm not sympathetic" is obviously the expression of her own opinion. The 1996 comparison of the National Rifle Association to the Ku Klux Klan indicates great hostility even to the political advocacy of Second Amendment rights. There has been no credible explanation of this comparison. As my written testimony details, a few weeks ago the White House provided one explanation, which on its face was not credible. On Tuesday, Ms. Kagan provided an entirely different explanation. She said that the NRA-KKK line was her record of a phone conversation with someone else. But a memo from Fran Allegra at the Department of Justice to Ms. Kagan at the White House reflects that it was Ms. Kagan herself who specifically wanted to know if the Volunteer Protection Act would apply to either the Klan or the National Rifle Association. As Ms. Kagan has accurately testified, Supreme Court judging is not a robotic process. There is a great deal of judgment involved. In the near future, there will be judgment about whether to overrule Heller or McDonald versus Chicago. Even if those cases remain intact, there will be judgment about what types of anti-gun laws infringe Second Amendment rights. A court which is unsympathetic to the Second Amendment could construe the Second Amendment so narrowly that it would provide little practical protection for the rights of the American people. In the Clinton White House, Ms. Kagan was the architect of a unilateral executive ban on the import of 58 rifles. Her White House aide, Jose Cerda, accurately characterized the Kagan-Clinton ban. "We are taking the law and bending it as far as we can to capture a whole new class of guns." Senator Leahy wrote to the Clinton White House to strongly protest what he called using a presidential directive to avoid the normal legislative process. The Kagan-Clinton gun ban required that the word "or" in a statute be read to mean "and." It required that the term "sporting purposes" be read to mean only hunting and not target shooting. The Kagan ban was premised on the legal theory that the only type of legitimate hunting rifle is the type which would be used by a wealthy person who could afford to pay for a professional hunting guide. The ban further defined legitimate sport hunting according to the restrictive rules of 13 states rather than the rules of the majority of states. On Tuesday, Ms. Kagan told this committee that her gun control work in the Clinton White House was just to keep guns out of criminal hands. But the Clinton-Kagan gun ban prevented all law-abiding citizens from acquiring those rifles, even after passing a background check. The Second Amendment cannot long endure without a robust First Amendment. Based on Ms. Kagan's scholarly works, it is clear that not since Robert Bork has the Senate Judiciary Committee held hearings on a Supreme Court nominee with such a well-established record in favor of substantially constricting First Amendment rights. Ms. Kagan was a great dean at Harvard, and her testimony has shown you that she is expert on constitutional law, highly intelligent, and has a fine sense of humor. Neither her testimony nor her professional record have given you plausible reasons to believe that she would protect the Second Amendment rights of the American people. Thank you.